I was asked if I would like to come or to, well, they asked over at Claremont, they asked if there was any of the students who would like to participate in Claremont Sunday. And oddly enough, they plunked me down here in Torrance, at Torrance United Methodist. And if you don't run me out on a rail, I'm going to admit to you that I grew up here, I went to South Torrance High School. So I'm a Spartan, but you'll allow. And I think that was quite divine intervention that I got to come back home and be with you. A year ago, I was the student pastor at Walteria United Methodist Church in Torrance. But prior to that, I was a reporter for almost 20 years and then a public relations spokesperson for UC San Diego Health System. So at the 8 o'clock service, someone said, well, I think it's ironic that they've sent you, you here, a person who's working on her third career, to talk about young clergy initiatives. True, I did come to it later in life. But what I know is that we are all clergy. We are all called by God, by Jesus, by John Wesley. He believed the Methodist movement rests on the shoulders of the laity, the folks who fill the pews, the folks who visit friends who are sick, the folks who welcome new members, and the folks who share their faith standing in the grocery line. That's where the rubber meets the road. So while I am here as a representative of young clergy initiatives at Claremont School of Theology, I want you to know we are all clergy, and God needs all of us. So, getting to our scripture today, it is all about time. And I know that in Lent, I saw the picture, there, that one, Lent in the wilderness for 40 days. You'll get a lot of that imagery in Matthew and Luke. It's filled with detailed descriptions of how Jesus struggled during those Lenten 40 days, those 40 days that we now call Lent. But we're reading from Mark this morning, and Mark doesn't bother with details. Mark is the headline news and the Twitter account of the Gospels. 140 characters, one sentence on each event. But there is good reason for that this morning, and I'll share that with you. But first, hear the word. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. That's John the Baptist, his cousin. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. That's it. That's all Mark has to say about that episode. But then Mark offers us this. After John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." That, my friends, is what Mark wants us to hear this morning. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom is here. And the time we're talking about is not the time on your wristwatch or the time on the calendar. That word would be the Greek word chronos, chronologically. The time we're talking about here is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. And it means time in its fullest, that pregnant moment, that full of potential moment. It can also be full of crisis, but it is that moment when you know you are to step in and make a decision. And Jesus knew this. His Father in heaven spoke to him, "I am well pleased with you." And he got up and said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom is here." And he began his ministry. That is the beginning of that time, that kairos in which we still live and can be a vital part of. Claremont's initiative for youth and bringing younger people to be clergy members, the idea is that the church is dwindling. People are worried. What about our numbers? How many people are in the pews? Are we reaching the spiritual but not religious? All of that, to me, forgets that this is the time that Jesus unleashed 2,000 years ago. It didn't come and then leave with Jesus. It is the time. This is the kairos. Jesus kicked it off. We are part of it, and we continue it. We may not know exactly what it's going to look like. About every 500 years, the church and faiths go through some kind of upheaval. The last really big one that you may remember is when Martin Luther stamped his theses to the door of the Catholic Church because he was tired of the way they did things. That was an uproar in the 1500s. Another time, not quite as big, was the Enlightenment, when science has to reckon with faith, what we can prove with what we can't prove. Each of these times, the church redefined itself and survived. And I believe that we are in one of those times of upheaval, but also of redefinition, of crisis, but also of great faith, and of people like you, people like us, who can step in and be part of the rewriting of church history, of faith history. Now, that idea is not my own. That was shared with me at my very first class, very first Monday night, with Professor Janine Sledham in our systematic theology class. That's a very heavy class where you have to decide what you think about God, what you think about Jesus, what you think about the church, what you think about the Spirit, and what you think about each thing is going to affect your thought on the next thing. And what I've come to know is that I love my God and I love my neighbor. I try to love my neighbor as I would love myself. That is the theology I started with, and I have a funny feeling it's the theology I'm going to graduate with in May. But my professor was talking about kairos. She said, this is the time. Religion goes through these upheavals, but it is your time to redefine, reorganize, reinvigorate. It's the best time to be alive. It's the riskiest time to be involved with religion and faith. But it is a time that makes you feel alive. It is a time directly connected to Jesus Christ, whom we follow. Let me give you a couple more definitions or fleshing out of the word kairos. A ripeness, a special sense for every age, a moment in time, a predestined era, a watershed epoch, a moment full of God's judgment and mercy, ripe for personal and collective choice. And that's what I bring to you today, that in the ripeness, the fullness of this time, we have personal kairos and collective kairos, moments in our lives that are full of that potential. It might not be everybody else's time. And then there's the collective times when we, in this case, as Christians and the church, have our moment. I'll give you an example of a personal one. The woman who is going to be running the Young Clergy Initiative at Claremont School of Theology. Her name is Reverend Allison. I believe she's still at the UMC in Pasadena, but she and her husband, Andy, both serve in ministry. Stressful job, lots of hours. And they are quite open about the fact that they had been trying to have children and it wasn't working. And there were sadnesses, many, along the way. Well, they had a baby girl last year. She's absolutely beautiful, alert, perfectly round, beautiful, doll-like face. She's absolutely adorable. And her name? Kyra. Because it's their time, her time, the fullness of God in their life. A personal kairos. Another one I think of, we shared with the kids today about the Oscars. How many of you have seen The Theory of Everything, Stephen Hawking's life? I highly recommend it. I'm not going to give away any secrets today, but I am going to tell you that Eddie Redmayne, the 33-year-old who plays Stephen Hawking, is phenomenal. He becomes Stephen Hawking. He is completely riddled with the ALS struggle. And he does a magnificent job. And he studied very hard for that. He says that he watched every documentary, he read every article he could, he even tried to read Dr. Hawking's books, and he said about page 40, he would think, I have no clue what I've just read. So he hired a physicist from a local college to explain the basic concepts to him, and he visited more than 30 people who are struggling with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and he met them at different times in the day, different times in their life, so he could see the progress of the disease that he was going to live with in this movie. And he nails it, my friends. He does such a wonderful job. So for him, I'm guessing tonight is a bit of a personal kairos when they say, and the Oscar goes to. It could be his big moment. I'm not sure he needs it, and I'll tell you why later. But I want to get back to our kairos. There's a book called Disorganized Religion. It's edited by one of my professors, Cheryl Kujawa Holbrook. And it talks about kairos in terms of my specific generation, Generation X. But I think it's applicable to all of us. And I think it's beautifully written. And it's talking about the collective moment. Eddie Redmayne's moment tonight will be mainly for him and those around him. But the collective kairos moment, it exists to challenge and enable us to take advantage of this time when we can feel history being rewritten. It's not a ministry that panders to negative stereotypes, but rather that endeavors to build on our strength. It's all too easy for people to criticize our generation, particularly for turning our eyes inward and looking at ourselves. Kairos challenges us to raise our eyes upward toward God and to our moment in human history. And friends, I believe we still live that moment. Jesus started it 2,000 years ago, and we are in it yet now. We had a massive showing of that many different times in many different ways in Ferguson, Missouri this summer, when our yet undealt with racial tensions exploded on the scene for the entire world to see. In the midst of that, it was people of faith, all different kinds of faith, but also specifically Christian clergy, who put on orange vests and who stepped into that moment in history, who walked the streets with orange vests on so that people would know that they were clergy. And someone who experienced this said it was obvious that there were more peaceful bodies in the protest. Another woman said, and just for a moment, you got a glimpse of what a city looks like when it makes God's heart glad. So people were still able to protest, voice their opinions as citizens in a free country. The police were able to do their duty. And in the midst, it was clergy and lay people, people of faith, who stepped in and helped bridge that moment in time. Just yesterday, I wonder if any of you saw what happened in Oslo, Norway. In Copenhagen, about a week ago, there were some people were killed by a Muslim man, some Jews. The folks of Norway said, we need to stand together and show that this is not acceptable. And it was a movement started by a group of Muslims. They started it on Facebook and said, if you believe there are more peace mongers than war mongers in this world, please come and join us. And they had about 50 Muslims agree to do this, and they thought they had a great start. 2,300 people, many hundreds of them Muslims, showed up yesterday and surrounded the Jewish temple in a, quote, ring of peace, so that they could worship as they felt and feel safe. There are only about 1,000 Jews in Norway, in all of Norway. There are several thousand Muslims, and they took a stand, and other people of faith and not of faith came and took a stand against what is not right for our time. And they realized it was their moment, their kairos, to step in and make this happen. I hope I would do the same as your representative, as your Methodist clergy. I want to be the kind of person who sees those opportunities, who sees God's grace at work, and who recognizes that moment when God's grace could use my help, could rely on me and others to step in to that moment in history. When that moment comes, I want to be the person who remembers the Spirit of Jesus Christ set in motion 2,000 years ago with the words, "The kingdom of God is near." This is our time. So when I'm watching the Oscars tonight, I'll be thinking about Eddie Redmayne and his moment in time. I kind of think he already got the validation he needed. I'm not sure the Oscars can top this. Stephen Hawking agreed to come down from Cambridge to London for a private showing, and he doesn't do much of that anymore. It's difficult for him to travel. When he came into the theater area, he typed on his computer, and his computerized voice says to Eddie Redmayne, "I'll let you know what I think, good or otherwise." And it's reported that Eddie said back, "Well, if it's otherwise, you don't have to go into detail." But after the screening, it's reported that Dr. Hawking's nurse was patting tears off of his face. And he doesn't hang out with folks very often, and he stayed, met members of the crew, all the directors, everyone, and he had champagne with them. He sipped it from a teaspoon to be able to participate. And in that time, he said, when he was watching the screen, "At times, I felt like I was watching myself." I don't know, but if I were Eddie Redmayne, I'd think, "I'd love to have the Oscar, but I have nailed this. The man whom I am portraying just told me he thought he was watching himself." What a moment. So I wonder about our moment. And I suggest that while we are participating in Lent and we are remembering those 40 days in the wilderness and what they mean to us, that while we are in that contemplative mode, I ask you to be and join me in being in Kairos mode. Be looking for those moments, personal or collective, when you can step into the fullness of God's time. When you hear God's call and you feel that pull, I want you to know, whether you are young clergy, old clergy, or lay people, that God's time is now. It needs you, and the decisions you make and the crises you face and the joys you share will provide love and light for others long after Oscar Sunday is over. May it be so.